You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. A very special conversation with Elaine Donnelly of the Center for Military Readiness, one of our country's preeminent authorities on what's going on with respect to the various efforts to fundamentally transform the United States military, to make it look like something that may or may not work in the civilian world, but is very problematic indeed for our armed forces. And Elaine, a case in point is, of course, the effort to intrude into the combat arms of women in the interest of creating this sense that all jobs are open to them, that they can obtain promotions just like men by virtue of having served in these ranks, even if they are simply not up to the job. And I'd just like you to sort of walk us through your insights into this, having studied it longer and harder than just about anybody.
Yes, thank you. Starting in 2012, a remarkable experiment began, actually research began, to find out what would happen if the administration's intent played out. And that was announced by the Secretary of Defense at the time, Leon Panetta, said, we're going to eliminate all the exemptions, well, he uses the word restrictions, of women from direct ground combat units. And the first thing we have to do is define that. Direct ground combat means seeking out and attacking the enemy with deliberate offensive action. It goes beyond being in danger, being in harm's way. Women have served with courage. No one has ever questioned the courage of our women who have served in harm's way. Many have lost their lives. Many have been injured. We honor and respect their service. But even in the recent wars that we have experienced after 9/11, women have not served in direct ground combat units such as infantry, armor, artillery, special operations forces. These are the units that remain all male, and Navy SEALs, I should add.
Our guest is Elaine Donnelly. She is describing the challenge facing the armed forces as the Obama administration has demanded that it accommodate women into ground combat positions that have historically been closed to them. And Elaine, you were just describing the fact that a lot of women have been in combat, but they've not been in these kinds of roles. And why has that been to date? And what were the results of the research done, particularly by the United States Marine Corps in this regard?
In 2012, the Marines started a multi-phased research project. It's unprecedented, the work that was done. The first phase we heard about was the infantry officer course at Quantico, Virginia. The Marines were hoping to have 100 volunteers to try the course. Ultimately, they only had 30, and all 30 of them failed to succeed on that course. They tried very hard. We respect their trying. The Marines held the line. There's a reason why that course is so tough, but none of the women succeeded. On the enlisted side, there were some enlisted women who made it through enlisted infantry training, which is not as demanding as the infantry officer course. However, injury rates were very high, about six times higher. And basic training, women, they tried an experiment with three pull-ups, the male minimum. 55% of the young women could not do that. Then we know that there were strength tests simulating armor and artillery heavy lifting. The failure rate for women ranged between 18 and 28%, only 1% for the men. So that experiment didn't work out either. But the most prominent and comprehensive study was done in the field. The task forces that went out there, some of them were mixed gender, some were all male. They were scientifically measured doing combat simulation tasks. In 69% of those tests, the all-male units outperformed the mixed gender ones. Now, the Marines did everything right. They documented all this. It was empirical evidence. And yet, the Secretary of Defense, Ashton Carter, changed his mind about allowing the Marines to ask for exceptions. And the Commandant at the time, General Dunford, did ask for exceptions. He said, no, we're going to go in our own direction anyway, and the Marines will have to now, henceforth, pretend that gender doesn't matter, that all of their findings don't matter. But guess what? Truth remains true, even if it is ignored by the current administration, the next president of the United States can reassess, and Congress should assess, all of the research that's been done. And I think they will find that this was a mistake on the part of this administration. And for the sake of women, as well as national security and military readiness, these decisions that were unilaterally made by the administration need to be reversed.
I certainly hope that that will be the case, Elaine. It's unfortunately true that on so many of these agenda items, whether it's what I think of as a wrecking operation against the military, of which this is a particularly egregious example, but hardly the only one, or whether it's other steps, normalizing relations with the Castro regime or doing a nuclear deal with Iran or countless other examples, including on the domestic side, of course, the administration is trying to lock things in, trying to ensure that whoever comes next can't undo what has been done here. Do you anticipate that that will, as a practical matter, be the case with respect to this integration of women into the combat arms? Or when, as I think it has to, proves to be seriously defective and dangerous, both for those most immediately involved and in terms of their missions, that the next commander-in-chief is going to have to revisit this?
Well, it remains to be seen. And it all starts with the priorities that are set. Does meritocracy matter, or are we going to continue to pursue what this administration calls gender diversity metrics? Now, a lot of people look on this women in combat issue and they'll say, well, if they meet the same standards, it's okay. What they have to understand is the push for quotas. The Secretary of the Navy wants 25% women in the Navy and Marine Corps. In order to achieve that percentage, you have to lower standards. You have to lower standards also to avoid the injury rates. They're at least double in training. In the military occupational specialties that require heavy lifting or marching under load, the injury rate is certainly much more than double. It can go as high as 6 times or 10 times as much. This is a social experiment that is yet to play out. How many broken female bodies do we need to have before we realize that this experiment in equality is not working? How many disabled female veterans do we need? So when people say, well, as long as they can do the job, then why not? There's a problem there because, first of all, the standards will be gender neutral, but lower than before. Injury rates will remain high. The fatigue factor affects marksmanship, the ability to attack the enemy. All of these things don't even begin to, well, we haven't even talked about the social interaction issues.
I have to pause here in a moment, but just very quickly, the thing that I think is so stunning about this and it seems to be so malfeasant, really, on the part of the Secretary of Defense and others who have brought this to pass is that it's not just that they're going to be crippling women for life, quite possibly, by subjecting them to these kinds of demands. It's not just that as a result, the others in the unit will have to pick up more of a burden. It is that there may well be a failure to perform the mission that may attend the kinds of difficulties we're talking about here. And I want to pause just at this point to say, I think one of the most important services you render at the Center for Military Readiness, Elaine Donnelly, is helping speak about these very practical and yet little understood, little appreciated, little addressed issues that are so central to not just the culture of the military, but really is your organization is all about its readiness as well. We're going to continue our very important conversation with Elaine Donnelly, the president of the Center for Military Readiness, right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.